What's up, college baseball fans? It is Monday, February 10th, and it is the last off day for most of the players across the country before the season starts this Friday. Stay with us. Today is our conference preview special. It's going to be a great show. What's up, everybody? Thank you for listening to another episode of the 11.7 podcast brought to you by Foul Pole Sports. Today's episode is our conference preview episode where we're gonna preview the top 10 conferences that we believe are around the country in college baseball. We're going to dive into pretty much all 10 conferences, pick our winners. Dimitri is here with me. Sorry, Dimitri, I forgot to introduce you to the show. Thank you again for doing this, and hopefully we'll have a little bit of debates on who we think is going to win each conference.
Yep, I'm excited, Ben. Let's ride.
You don't sound too excited, but whatever. We're doing this pretty late, so I might have made Dimitri stay up a little bit past his bedtime.
No, you're like
a night owl.
No, I'm excited. I mean, there's it's a new year, new team. New freshman, new senior. It's all about who leads, who gets hot at the right time of the year. So I'm excited to dive in and see what we got this year.
Yeah, and college baseball is weird and different than most sports because you have guys getting drafted after their junior year. They sign and they never become seniors. Meanwhile, you have some guys that chose to stay one more year, stay for their senior year. And plus, the bottom line is we have a lot of impact freshmen that come straight into the team and make an impact real quick, and we'll see a lot of the guys that are 18, 19 years old step on campus and basically become one of the best players on the team. It's crazy.
Ben, you want to know something I've thought about?
So what's that?
You know how like basketball, it's the one and done rule. Football and baseball are not. You have to be a junior to get drafted.
Yeah.
So speaking of roster turnover, you know, freshman, sophomore, baseball, you've got to have your 3 weekend starters. You got to have your starting lineup, your offensive lineup, and your bullpen, whatever. Imagine if they had the one-and-done rule in baseball. You can't do it.
Because
if you have a stud freshman come in, and then like two freshmen get drafted, and then you have three juniors get drafted, then two seniors, there's way too much roster turnover in a sport that has that many guys on a team. Like basketball, you lose your point guard and shooting guard. You can just plug two more in. Baseball, I feel like you can't do that. Football, same thing.
Yeah, you really can't. And the good news about baseball is that you have the junior colleges that you can go and recruit. So if you have a guy that either leaves the program or gets drafted and signs, you can always last minute pick up a couple JUCO guys that have kind of little salty vets. They know how to play the game and they're really talented. So you're right though. I mean, it's tough to plug in guys if there was a one and done rule for college baseball. It would be tough to feel it out. So the good news is most of these programs get 3 years with their best recruits, with their top guys. But you know, it takes personally, a couple – oh, do what?
Well, I was going to say, personally, I think college baseball should have the one-and-done rule. It would boost the popularity. I mean, if you have a guy that, you know, just for example, he's the projected top 10 pick high school guy, and he goes to college, people are going to want to watch him. I think it would boost popularity, and it would definitely involve JUCO guys way more. And I think it would just create more popularity and awareness. So I think they should allow the one-and-done rule because high school guys don't want to go to college for one simple reason. They want to get their money, and they don't want to go to school for 3 years. They don't want to go for 3 years. They want to go to college. I've talked to so many of them. They want to play college baseball for a school, put on that college jersey, be on a college campus for a year. But
you're dead right about that. 3 years is a long commitment whenever you're looking at a signing bonus of, you know, upwards of $1 million, maybe even more. And you see what like Bryce Harper did when he graduated from high school early. He went straight to junior college, mm-hmm. spent, Yep, spent 1 year there and then got drafted one overall. You're right. I mean, I think that if there's high school players out there that maybe get drafted in round two to round five and they don't like their signing bonus, if there was a one and done rule, a lot of them, instead of signing for less than what they think they're worth, go into, you know, a school like Louisville or a school like Mississippi State where they can play 1 year and get drafted a little bit higher. So you're right. And I agree.
It would just create more popularity. Instead of them going to bum F word nowhere Montana and playing rookie ball for the year, they'd be playing on a college campus for a year.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's no debate on my end about that. I agree.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let's dive in.
Yeah. So Dimitri and I have spent the last hour, 2 hours kind of coming up with the 10 best conferences we think that you guys are most interested in. And we came up with the 10 very basic conferences in college baseball that you see year in and year out have the top teams. So here are the 10 conferences. If you're writing these down at home, we got the American Conference, the ACC, Big 12, Big 10, Big West, Conference USA, Missouri Valley, Pac-12, SEC, and the Sun Belt. So we each did our own research and we picked who we thought was going to win each conference. I have no idea what Dimitri picked. He has no idea what I picked. We'll see if we agree on some of these. I'm sure you guys listening probably have completely different opinions, but we're going to do our best to break down the conference and tell you guys who to look forward to, you know, at the end of the season, who's going to come out on top. So we're going to start with the American Athletic Conference. If you guys are new to college baseball or maybe don't follow the American Conference, here's some news for you. East Carolina has run away with that conference, at least in recent years. They have been the pick of many to be Omaha teams preseason-wise for like the last 2 or 3 years. They have great talent, and I have them winning the American this year. I didn't want to get too fancy. I didn't want to get too, I don't know, cute with my pick. East Carolina returns guys like Jake Kuchmanner, who came on the show last year. They have the best two-way guy in America and Alec Burleson. They just have a team that has been there, done that before. They won the conference by like 5 or 6 games last year. I went with East Carolina. Who'd you go with, Dimitri?
I went with the Houston Cougars, your hometown favorite, Ben. I like East Carolina. I think they lost a lot. they still are reloading. Houston, honestly, they were iffy for part of the year. They ended up finishing pretty well in that regional. But I think Houston comes back this year. Pitcher of the year could honestly go to Clay Aguilar, left-hander. He's probably going to be on Friday night. So this could be they're going to probably win most of their Friday night games, and that's huge. When you're in your conference schedule, if you win Friday night, you got 2 chances to win one on Saturday and Sunday. And if you win 2 out of 3 every weekend, put yourself in a good position to win your conference. So I think Houston, but that weekend, Houston and East Carolina battle it out will definitely be for first place.
Yeah, no, I think so too. And there's other teams in the conference that we could see, you know, maybe surprising some people. Yeah, I like Tulane a lot this year. I think they could be a sleeper team. Cincinnati was really, really good last year, and nobody was talking about them. Even like UConn. UConn's got talent up there. They recruit the best players from the Northeast. And I know, you know, both of us being from the South, we get way more coverage than the kids up in the Northeast.
I remember they put a smacking on I'm trying to think who they put that smacking on in the AAC tournament last year.
It might have been Tulane.
20 against East Carolina or somebody.
Yeah, it was like one of the really good teams. So like UConn can definitely swing it. I mean, George Springer went there. There's been a lot of good talent coming out of UConn. So I would say those like 5 teams are definitely going to finish 1 through 5. I'm just pretty confident that East Carolina is going to like continue their dynasty run. They own that conference similar to like Coastal Carolina and the Sun Belt since they made that step up. But we'll get to the Sun Belt later. Moving on to the next conference, this one's a big one, and yes, we are going alphabetically, or at least I think alphabetically. We're going to move to the ACC, and I know Dimitri is a huge Miami fan, so I have a feeling he might be picking them, but I'm going to go with Louisville. I had Louisville as my national championship pick last year preseason. I really like Reed Detmers. He's the best left-handed pitcher in the country. And, you know, everything from head coach down to freshman position player that isn't going to play, Louisville is as talented as anybody in the country. I think that last year they underachieved, even though they went to Omaha. They were one of the best teams from top to bottom, and they didn't win a national championship. But I do think they're going to come out of the ACC this year as champions. Dimitri, just go ahead and tell everybody that you're a Miami homer and you're going to pick them.
So before we get there, Ben, pump the brake. I did go with Miami. I did go with the U. I was on the fence between Miami, Louisville, and Florida State. I think Florida State, Mike Martin's out. They've got Junior in there, and I think Junior is basically Mike Martin cloned. So I don't really think there could be much of a transition there. So the Noles will definitely be competing in the Atlantic Division. Louisville is Louisville. There's not much to explain that Alec Benelis is back. He will probably compete with Alex Toral from Miami for the home run crown. But I do think Miami is the team that wins this conference. I mean, you saw them. They were young last year. They had one iffy game against Central Michigan in the Starkville Regional. If they win that game, I mean, Mississippi State was scared. They did not want to play Miami. And Central Michigan brought that flamethrower out there to close it out. I remember watching that game. Mississippi State fans, we were extremely happy with Miami being knocked out. But I really do think Miami, for how young they were last year and the amount of success they had, I think Miami won the ACC this year.
Yeah, no, you're right. Miami is a very scary team. They were young last year. They play with a lot of energy, and they're going to have just a ton of experience under their belt for this season. They have Alex Corral, who I think hit over 20 homers last year, maybe. Somewhere like between 18 and
right around there. And then they have a lot of arms too.
Yeah, I mean, Miami is back. The U is back in baseball. They had their reign of dominance, I think, in the 90s and early 2000s, but they finally got good recruiting classes that ended up going to campus instead of signing. Because going back to what we were talking about in the beginning of the show, Miami had the same problem that the University of Texas had, where they would recruit the best players, but the players would never step foot on campus. They would go sign their million-dollar signing bonuses, and then Miami was stuck recruiting like junior college guys and mid-level recruits.
Hey, you want to know who one of them was?
Who?
Carlos Correa.
Yeah, Carlos Correa. He was a Miami sign, but I mean, he went one overall. Like, what are you going to do about that? You just can't compete.
A-Rod is another one.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, it's a different game competing with that kind of money, but you're right. I mean, they've had two, maybe even three first overall picks out of high school that were signed to go play for them. So Miami is back, though. I think this conference comes down to five teams. I think NC State being the fifth, and then you got Georgia Tech, Miami, Louisville, and who am I blanking on right now?
Georgia Tech. I really do. Their pitching coach.
Came from the Yankees, right?
Danny Burrell. He is coming over to Georgia Tech from the Yankee, and he's got a lot of good things going on down there with their pitching staff. And Georgia Tech, I mean, they won the Coastal last year. Heartbreaker in the regional against Auburn. But, I mean, Auburn was on fire. I mean, everything was going the right. But I wouldn't be surprised if Georgia Tech is right up there.
Yeah, no, Georgia Tech's another one of those teams that They were young last year, and I think that they lost quite a bit of guys to the draft. But yeah, Georgia Tech proved last year that they can compete with anybody, and they did run into a hot Auburn team in the regional. And I think Coastal Carolina was also in that regional as a 3 seed. So it's tough hosting a regional when you have a really, really good SEC team, and then a team that was also hot in Coastal Carolina at the time. I think they won like 5 straight conference tournament games to get there. So I think between Georgia Tech, Louisville, Miami, NC State, and dude, who is the other team I cannot think of right now in the ACC that I really like?
I mean, dude, to be honest, do you remember what NC State did last year?
Florida State was the other team I'm thinking of. But anyways, what'd you ask?
Remember what NC State was? NC State and Arizona State, the last two undefeateds last year.
Yeah, no, and NC State's got Patrick Bailey, who's going to be probably number one or two overall pick. I think he's a really good catcher, can swing the bat. NC State's got talent. I wouldn't sleep on them. But then you got teams in the bottom of the conference that, you know, you got like Pitt and Virginia Tech, Notre Dame, Boston College. Those teams are going to be the bottom four, I think, no matter what. I mean, there's very little middle-tier teams in this conference, because you can even stretch the top five to the top six or even seven with North Carolina and Duke. They're both going to be really good this year like they were last year. It's very top-heavy, in my opinion. I think they're going to get probably 8 to 10 teams in the regionals. Man, I get all caught up in the ACC. I'm, like, fascinated with that conference for some reason.
I know.
You think about it, the ACC covers from Boston College to Miami. Like, that is a lot of ground to cover.
Anyway, next.
Yeah, so next we're going to go with the you want to go Big 10 or Big 12? I don't know which one. I guess Big 10 comes first alphabetically, because 10 comes before 12, if I remember correctly.
You're a smart man, Ben.
Yeah, so Big 10, I think this is going to be a really good conference, and obviously I say that, but we saw Michigan make it to the championship game last year. We saw them win game one, I believe, against Vanderbilt, and they were one win away from winning the whole College World Series. But I'm going with Minnesota this year. I think Minnesota is going to definitely host a regional. I think they're going to be somewhere – I think they're a top 10 team in the country. Like, I've read some really good things on them this year. Minnesota is a team that nobody's really talking about, but doing my research, they return a lot of players. They play great at home. I like Minnesota to win the Big Ten this year, just ahead of like Michigan and Indiana, Ohio State. All of those teams are also going to be really good.
I'm rowing the boat. The Golden Gophers are going to be your Big Ten champion.
You're going with them too. Dang, I went Minnesota.
I am going to go Michigan. Minnesota. I mean, here's the deal. I like to say pitching and defense wins championship. Minnesota probably got the best pitching staff in the Big Ten this year. Michigan lost. They lost. Who did they lose? Carl Kaufman gone. They lost a couple arms.
Tommy Henry. I think he's gone too.
Yep. I think they lost a lot of arms. Offensively, I think they'll be okay. But I think Minnesota will be the team to sleep to win the conference. Max Meyer will be on Friday night. He's going to be dominant. I'm not sure exactly what his numbers were last year, but they were definitely in the top tier of the conference. Michigan definitely going to be right there. I mean, to be honest, if Michigan wins the conference, you can't get mad at me for picking Minnesota. But I think Ohio State and Indiana right there. Nebraska's got a new head coach. Darren Erstad is out, which is really disappointing with their facilities and their – history. I think Nebraska is going through a tough time. We'll see how they rebound. New coach, new era. Let's see what they do.
Yeah, and I think Indiana is another team that nobody really knows what they're capable of this year. Like, obviously, they've always been talented. You can go all the way back to like the Sam Travis and Kyle Schwarber days where they really put their foot on the big stage, and they've been good since then. But they really haven't reached where I think they want to reach. But Indiana is another team, talent-wise, matches up with anybody in the conference. There's just a lot of question marks going on with Indiana right now. So that's why I went Minnesota. But it wouldn't surprise me if Michigan won it. It wouldn't surprise me even if, like, Ohio State won it. Illinois is another team that has shown a lot of success recently. Who knows? Big Ten's a toss-up, but I'm going with Minnesota, and I'm pumped you went with Minnesota, too. Hey, we're riding together.
Nebraska with a couple pitches away from winning the Nebraska, you remember it was the regional. Yeah, Nebraska they were a pitch away from before what's the big boy's name from Oklahoma State?
Oh yeah.
That go ahead 3-run homer.
Yeah, he had to go ahead 3-run homer in the regional, because they had to like move that regional to Oklahoma City's field or something.
Yeah, I do
remember that. Man, I have to go back and look. Nebraska, I completely forgot about it.
Nebraska had the lead. And then that dude, God, what's his name, man? But anyways, yeah, he hit that freaking dinger and threw. He pimped the shit out of that thing.
Yeah, no, it was, dude, that was exciting. Man, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about that. I still remember watching it, but yeah, you're right. Nebraska was, they were close. They were close to going to Super Regional last year. I forgot. Anyways, moving on, we're going to the Big 12. This conference, I think everybody is hung up on Texas Tech winning it. And I think this is the year where the University of Texas Longhorns actually bounce back, win the conference. They had an awful season last year. Didn't even make the conference tournament. And I know those players are embarrassed. I know they're out to prove something this year. They have the talent. They have the coaching staff. They have everything, the facilities, recruiting, everything they need to win the conference. And I think this is the year they go from last to first. Worst to first. I'm taking the Texas Longhorns.
Whew. I mean, the 11.7 was close to banning Texas last year.
I mean, it was.
Ole Miss was a fan, but Texas, oof. They were brutal to watch last year. My pick is Texas Tech. It sounds cliche, but there's nobody competing with them. Oklahoma State, I mean, they'll be right there. Oklahoma will be okay. West Virginia had a good year last year with Manoa, a couple veteran guys. Texas Tech, I mean, there's nobody that they're the perennial power of the Big 12. Texas, I mean, I let's be honest, I could see them being good. They're expected to win games every year. I mean, come on, it's Texas, but I don't see them winning this conference.
Yeah, I mean, Texas Tech, I think you're right, is the it's the cream of the crop of the Big 12, but. Another team you didn't even mention that's really good in the Big 12 that I could possibly see winning it are the Baylor Bears. Baylor was real good last year. They dropped off, I think, late in the season. Maybe it was the middle of the season, but I really like Baylor again this year. I think honestly it's gonna go Texas, Baylor, Texas Tech. I think Texas Tech's gonna finish third this year.
Yeah, no. I mean, Baylor's got this suspension coming up. I mean, let's be honest. Those suspensions of four, I think it's 14 players, two games each. They're going to all be midweek games and early in the season. So I guarantee you they will not serve a single suspension during Big 12 play. So I wouldn't be surprised if Baylor, you know, have a iffy record going into conference play, you know.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they turn the Jets on and everybody's like, whoa, wait a minute. Why is Baylor winning games? So I think the suspension will not affect their Big 12 play at all.
Yeah, and for the listeners back home that haven't heard about it, Baylor does have 14 players suspended for hazing two games of the season. And I believe it's the first two games of the season. I don't know if it's been officially released.
It's going to be spread out. So, like, two guys will serve suspension opening day. Two guys will serve suspension Saturday. It's spread out.
Okay, that's good. But that's the kind of stuff that's the kind of stuff that kind of pulls teams together. Obviously, hazing is nothing to joke around with, and I know there's many forms of hazing going on at all levels of college baseball. But I do think it's gonna rally the troops together and make the team pull for each other, because it is. I mean, I couldn't imagine going through something like that where 14 players have to serve a suspension. That's unheard of. But I like Texas to win the conference. Baylor, I think, is gonna finish top three. You're going with Texas Tech. Texas Tech should probably win the conference. But then you got teams like Oklahoma and Oklahoma State who have shown that they can compete with anybody.
All right, let's jump out to the West Coast, the Big West.
The Big West. This is a conference that was really, really powerful, you know, 5-6 years ago. But then recently, teams like Long Beach State and Cal State Fullerton. I mean, Fullerton's always been really good, but last year I think they were a little bit disappointing. UC Santa Barbara has hosted at least once, maybe twice in the last couple of years. They were one of the teams that we had ranked, I think, in the top five for most of the season last year. But I'm going with Cal State Fullerton. I think that Fullerton is the most complete team in that conference. And obviously, I didn't do a ton of research on some of the lower level teams, but I like Cal State Fullerton to kind of just continue their little dynasty that they have going in the 2000s. And obviously before that too, but and you got UC Irvine who have shown a lot of postseason success. Cal Poly has really hit the stage hard last year. I think Cal Poly actually was one game away from winning the conference. And then UC Santa Barbara has a lot of turnover this year. I don't know if they're going to be as good as last year, but who knows? We'll see.
I'm going with the Titans of Cal State Fullerton as well. I mean, dude, new team, new era, new program. They're still perennial power. They're still Cal State Fullerton. I mean, go back in the early 2000s and beyond. It was Fullerton, Omaha every year. It was Fullerton, Fullerton, Fullerton. I think same with Long Beach State. They had a lot of turmoil, a lot of internal issues. And I think Fullerton was going through the same thing. Fullerton should never be a 500 team. I think new coach they brought in, heard a lot of good things about him. I think Cal State Fullerton wins the conference. Santa Barbara melted down. Their schedule was not the greatest for most of the year. They're going to be good at Santa Barbara. The Gauchos will be fine. I just don't think they have enough returning and enough experience to win the conference.
Yeah, and was it Cal State Fullerton or Long Beach State last year that we broke the news of their coach getting fired?
Long Beach.
Yeah, it was Long Beach. You're right. I mean, that was crazy stuff. I remember that now. We had a secret source DMing us.
Anonymous source, yeah. Give us the lowdown. I remember that. That was definitely really interesting.
We were the first media outlet to break that news, and nobody gave us credit.
Nope. But hey, it is what it is.
It is what it is. You're right. It would be good to see the dirtbags along Long Beach State bounce back after an awful season last year. But
just like people say in college football, you know, college football is better when USC, Texas, Miami are back, Nebraska. I think in baseball, when Fullerton and Long Beach are good, I think it's better for college baseball. I mean, I remember last year, how many regional hosts were out west? Not too many. It was what, Stanford, Oregon State, and who else?
Last year was Oregon State, Stanford, and maybe UC Santa Barbara. I don't know if they ended up hosting or not.
That was it, but everybody else was on the East Coast. It was like 12 hosts on the East Coast, Midwest, and then just three or four out west.
Yeah.
So I think it's better for college baseball, and Long Beach, Fullerton are good. Anyway.
Right. All right, so anyways, let's move on to Conference USA. Man, it was tough. Conference USA was tough for a couple reasons. I like the mid-level teams in this conference. Man, I really like Louisiana Tech. I think that they're going to be a sleeper team. But Rice will be a lot better this year than they were last year. I think they finished below 500 last year. But guys like Trey Cruz from Rice, I mean, he's a first-rounder in my opinion. But it really came down to two teams I was debating against. My little brother's going to hate me because he just graduated from Southern Miss. Because I'm rolling with Florida Atlantic. I think the Owls proved a lot last year. They were a 2 seed in Georgia's regional, if I remember correctly. They had a lot of young talent, just like Miami. And you know, Logan Allen's going to win Pitcher of the Year. He's a lefty from Florida. No. Allen doesn't go to Florida Atlantic. I take that back. Yeah, he goes to FIU. And I just completely, it was mouth diarrhea. What's it called? Brain diarrhea? I don't know. But anyways, Florida Atlantic, great bats. I think they led the country in doubles last year. Just a lot of hard contact. Southern Miss loses guys like Matt Wallner and I can't remember the other guy's name, but they lost a lot. I think it's a two-team race with maybe Louisiana Tech and Rice pushing the top of the conference. But I'm rolling with Florida Atlantic. I don't know what you're rolling with, but let's hear it.
I am going with Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
Southern Miss was exciting to watch last year. They played with energy. I don't know if you remember that game against Rice in the conference tournament. Guy was bunting. They threw it up at him. Benches were supposed to be cleared. They didn't let him. And it was a huge, huge ordeal. And it was completely intentional. And then Southern Miss and the Baton Rouge Regional were down big to LSU, tied it up. Matt Wallner hit that mammo. I think Southern Miss has got that conference under control. It was Southern Miss, Florida Atlantic in the Conference USA Championship game. Louisiana Tech get a new stadium. Did they get their stadium rebuilt or are they relocating this year after that tornado?
Yeah, they got it rebuilt. And Southern Miss even just got turf put in place instead of grass. So they had some ballpark adjustments at Southern Miss too.
So their average is definitely going to go up.
Oh, yeah, definitely. No, I mean, I completely agree with what you were saying about Southern Miss. They do play with energy. They play with passion. And now it's making me regret taking FAU. Dude, that regional at LSU that Southern Miss was at, I mean, it was packed with Southern Miss fans, too, because it was only like a three-hour drive from Hattiesburg, maybe. And dang, man, I'm really regretting taking FAU. I'll stick with it, but I think you might be right on this one. Southern Miss has kind of dominated that conference recently, too, ever since Rice dropped off. I think Rice went on like a 16-year streak of winning the conference.
Oh, I mean, Rice is another one of those teams that make college baseball better. Throw them in there with Long Beach and Fullerton.
They're baseball schools, man. I mean, there's really only probably 20 baseball schools first. Like Rice football, Rice basketball, non-existent. They make no impact whatsoever. The baseball program does a majority of the work. Same with Long Beach State, Cal State Fullerton, Coastal Carolina. I mean, even if you want to get down to the nitty-gritty, Arkansas is a baseball school. Mississippi State's a baseball school. And, I mean, you hate to hear it because those are SEC schools, not like these smaller mid-major schools. But I would only put about 20 schools as baseball-first schools, and Rice is one of them.
Yep, I agree. You got Florida Atlantic, I got Southern Miss. What's next?
All right, next is going to be the Missouri Valley. This conference, if you're not a huge college baseball fan, you're probably wondering, why are you picking the Missouri Valley? Nobody cares about that. Well, let me tell you, the Missouri Valley has put out some dominant teams in postseason play. They're always like a 4-3, 4-5 bid league. I'm going with Dallas Baptist, who's kind of controlled that conference recently. But we've seen teams like Indiana State, Missouri State. Who else is in that conference that I'm forgetting about right now?
Indiana State and Illinois State both had incredible years last year.
Yes, they did. You're right. And Bradley's been really good recently. I mean, it's a league that is a baseball league. I don't think any of these schools have competitive football program. Do they even have football teams at some of these schools?
I'm not the person to ask about that.
I mean, I've never heard of Valparaiso football or Southern Illinois football.
Valpo had football. Evansville. I think they're all FCS.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is definitely an FCS conference, but I know Dallas Baptist doesn't have football. That's a baseball school. It would surprise me if you went anywhere else besides Dallas Baptist picking this conference, but let me hear it. Who you got?
I'm going with the Patriots. Dallas Baptist is by far the best team in this conference. They're going to be another regional team. They're probably going to host. They probably have a chance to host this year. They've got so many people coming back. They've got a pretty good freshman class coming in. I don't see anybody else even coming close. Missouri State had a terrible year last year. They were awful. Not sure if they're going to rebound this year. I expect them to. Bradley was top 25 team a couple years ago. They're going to be fine, but I just don't see anybody. I mean, Indiana State lost everybody. Tristan Polly was their guy. He's gone. A couple other guys are gone. Indiana State's going to be good. They're going to be really good. Honestly, I see Indiana State coming in second behind Dallas Baptist.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty fair to say. This between Evansville, Southern Illinois, and Valpo, none of them have a shot, in my opinion, to compete with the rest of them. But Indiana State, I think, lost like 7 seniors, so that's tough to replace. Illinois State was a team last year that was in Louisville's regional and made some noise there. So Illinois State, I mean, I don't know exactly who they're returning. I didn't look too much into it. But between Dallas Baptist, Missouri State, Illinois State, and Bradley, I think it's going to be a 4-team race. But Dallas Baptist, one of those schools that we've seen in regionals, we've seen them host regionals, we've seen them in super regionals. We have never seen them play in Omaha, but this might be the year where they get over the hump, make it to Omaha, and show the country really what they're made of, because they're big into like analytics and player development there. Great facilities. Dallas Baptist, I think, will finish, you know, top 20 into the season, maybe have a chance to host.
I agree.
Yep, moving on, we got the Pac-12. Pac-12 is a toss-up this year, in my opinion. There's just a lot of question marks between Arizona State, Oregon State, UCLA, USC. I mean, Stanford, another powerhouse. you just never know year in to year out who's going to be.
I think honestly you do.
You think what?
I think you kind of know who's going to win every year in the Pac-12. It's like the two or three team race. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but dude, at the same time, like the Pac-12 is a huge draft conference, right? Like they have hundreds of players drafted at that conference every year.
Oh no, I agree. I think
I said hundreds of players. I mean, shoot, not a hundred. Probably like dozens. Let's say dozens of players drafted out of there every year. So you don't know who's going to replace who and how the recruiting classes are, because college baseball recruiting isn't up to par with like college basketball and college football recruiting. Sure, your perfect game profile might say you're a 9.5, but I mean, they're real people. I mean, it's people making those rankings, not like computers or any kind of systems like that. So, anyways, enough of the side talk. I have Arizona State winning it. I think last year they were two or three really good pitchers away from going to Omaha. We saw what their offense was capable of. They have probably the best hitter in the country, Spencer Torkelson, who looks like a mini Mark McGwire. I mean, he's going to hit 25 homers and walk 85 times.
Love the player comp.
Yeah, I mean, he's the real deal. Arizona State has the pitching staff. I mean, not the coaching staff to get them over the hump. I mean, elite coaching. Just a baseball school, baseball powerhouse. Wouldn't surprise me to see them run away with this conference, because I think that the rest of the teams in the conference have big replacements. Meanwhile, I think that besides like Hunter Bishop, Arizona State's going to be just fine.
I'm going with UCLA. UCLA, I think, holds that edge. I don't know how to explain it. They just have that edge, that program, prestige, experience, whatever you want to call it. I think Arizona State will be just fine. I think they're going to win a lot of games. I think UCLA is another 40-50 win team that runs away with the Pac-12. But my sleeper, my team that I think might surprise some people, is Cal, the Golden Bear.
I don't know about that.
I think Cal had the chance to be really good this year.
They lost the Golden Spikes winner, though.
But I think when you lose a guy like that, it can hurt, but it also motivates the other guy to want to be in the spotlight, to be good, to be great. I mean,
yeah, that's fair.
Andrew Vaughn. I think he was all they had in their lineup, but that was the public perspective. I think they had a lot of other guys creating runs for them because he can't do it all by himself. But I think Cal will be a second or third place team in the conference this year. Oregon State got a new coach. Pat Casey is out.
That's the real question mark, is to see how Oregon State bounces back.
I really see how they do with the new era.
They're losing the best player in the country last year, and Adley Rutschman, and then they lose Pat Casey. That's what I'm saying. Like, this conference is very like replaceable. Like, this every team has a lot to replace, and that's why I think it's a big question mark. But those two pieces between Casey and Rutschman, like that's as big as you're gonna get.
The program changing.
Yeah. So, anyways, I mean, obviously, like Washington State and Utah and Oregon, Washington, none of them are going to compete for a championship in the Pac-12. But between Arizona State, Stanford, UCLA, Oregon State, Cal, there's another team I'm forgetting. Arizona. All of those teams are going to be highly competitive. They'll be in the top 25 all year. It's just about who gets hot at the right time and who wins. They don't have a tournament, do they? They just play a full conference schedule. So it's just regular season only.
Play an extra weekend. They have a series during conference tournament weekend.
Yeah. I mean, so it's going to be who is the best regular season team. And last year it was UCLA. They were the number one overall seed in the whole tournament. Couldn't get out of their own regional because Michigan got hot and very lucky too.
Oregon State.
Michigan got very lucky last year in that regional, if I remember correctly. There was a couple extra inning games
Michigan, Creighton, and the Oregon State regional. It was Michigan, Oregon State, Creighton, and Corvallis. I remember, and then who was in that?
Dude, you got to look it up. You look it up while I preview the SEC, because we got to move on to the SEC.
Go ahead.
I mean, obviously, we have a lot of SEC fans that listen to the show. we're not going to tell you guys anything you probably don't already know. And I apologize if we don't pick your team to win the conference.
Yeah,
but
hey, Loyola Marymount won the UCLA regional.
Oh, that's right. And then they played. Did they play Michigan in the Supers?
I think they played Cal Poly.
Loyola in the Supers?
Yeah.
No, because neither one of those teams made it to Omaha. I think they played Michigan. God, we got to be better, man. This is this is embarrassing. But all those teams.
Sorry, man. Little brain fart.
Yeah, a little brain fart. But anyways, so we have SEC coming up. This I said the Pac-12 was a big toss-up. The SEC is just like unbelievably from top to bottom the best conference. And I'm sorry if you're not an SEC fan. I was looking at the conference earlier. I was like, okay, who's going to finish last? And I got it down between Kentucky and Alabama.
No, and dude. I'm tripping right now. UCLA won their regional. Won their regional. They went to Supers and lost to Michigan in the Super.
Okay, that makes sense. I was like, I remember UCLA and Michigan playing against each other in something.
Loyola just took them to a game 7. All right, moving on. I remember.
All right, now I'm glad that we got that all solved. But anyways, SEC talk. I was trying to figure out who was going to come in last because coming in first is going to be even tougher. I got it down to Alabama and Kentucky with potential South Carolina and Missouri.
I'm going Alabama in the bottom.
Yeah, I think Alabama is probably the worst team in the conference baseball-wise, but Kentucky, Missouri, South Carolina really haven't shown much recently, so I'd put them in that lower tier. Going to the upper tier, we got Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Auburn, Mississippi State, LSU, Texas A&M, even Ole Miss. Like, that's eight or nine teams. I don't remember how many I just named, but that's a lot of teams that I mean, it would not surprise me one bit, even if Ole Miss wins the SEC. Like, that's how close I think the top eight or nine teams are. So to pick one winner, that was the hardest thing for me. I'm not going to go against our reigning national champion, Vanderbilt, and a team that's won the SEC a lot recently. So I'm picking Vanderbilt. But here's three teams that I think could win the conference and nobody would blink an eye at it. I think between Mississippi State, Auburn, and LSU, any of those three could win it. And I think that there's also just as good of a chance that they finish in like 7th, 8th, or 9th. So either 1, 2, 3, or 7, 8, 9. Like, you pick it. I mean, it doesn't matter. Those teams are all like, I mean, would it be crazy to say that they're high A, maybe even double A equivalent? Like, these teams are that good.
They're not double A talent. They're probably low A, high A. I mean, Vanderbilt probably a high A team. Auburn, Mississippi State, and LSU, I would probably say they're more like a low A team.
Yeah. So who'd you end up picking for this conference? Like,
that's tough to compare because if you're taking the best guy of every team. When you get double A, that's just the best guy.
Yeah, we need to have like an SEC, ACC, All-Star game. Big 12, Big 10, all of them, like Pac-12. We need to have like some sort of like World Baseball Classic style. You just pick your conference's best players and have them play a tournament at the end of the year. That'd be really cool stuff. But – So who are you picking to win this?
Who'd you pick in the SEC?
I picked Vanderbilt, but I really couldn't decide.
I'm going with the Commodore, too. The whistle man is back. I think Vanderbilt's going to whistle their way to another SEC title. Do I think they're going to win in Hoover? Not sure. But they're definitely going to win their conference. Kumar Rocker. I mean, everyone's on the Emerson Hancock Pitcher of the Year thing. I'm on Kumar Rocker. Dude is just filthy. Dude does not belong in college baseball anymore. Austin Martin is going to freaking break again. Here's a better question, Ben. Will Florida have a winning record in the SEC this year?
Yes, dude. Absolutely. I think they're going to be – they're kind of like Texas. Awful year last year. This year they're going to bounce back. They went through the whole offseason just – getting reminded how bad they did last year. Florida will compete with Vanderbilt for an East title. That's how close I think it's going to be. Georgia will be up there too. Those three in the East, and then Arkansas, Auburn, Mississippi State, LSU, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, all of them in the West are going to battle it out. But here's a real question, Dimitri. Who you got coming in second in the conference?
I think Arkansas wins the West and Vandy wins the East.
Who'd you say wins the West?
Arkansas.
Oof. All right. If you're taking Arkansas, I'll take Mississippi State.
I think Mississippi State losing small, and they lost a lot of their heart. Mangum gone. I think Mississippi State falls down just a little bit.
Yeah, they did. They lost McNamee, Small, Mangum. They do return Tanner Allen. Justin Foscue too. Yeah. They have some good talent coming back. LSU is another sleeper team. Texas A&M is another sleeper team. If they can win on Friday night and give themselves a chance to win weekend series, they could find themselves up there with Arkansas. I mean, Arkansas has just as many question marks with some of the guys that they lost and some bullpen arms they lost. But we'll see. Like, Casey Martin's a real deal. We'll see if he'll be able to – him and Heston Kirkstead or whatever. I can't pronounce his last name, but
– Heston Kirkstead.
Yeah, there's like a K and a J touching in the beginning of that that last name. So that's whenever I give up. But anyways, SEC ball is going to be so much fun just to turn on like SEC Network or ESPN Plus and just sit there on like – they play some Thursday night games, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. All of that's going to be just a blast to watch. I'll be watching a lot of SEC ball this year. But moving on to the final conference, we got the Sun Belt. The Sun Belt has brought out a lot of really good teams in tournament play recently. Between like Coastal Carolina, Louisiana Lafayette, who else is in this conference? I'm like blanking right now. Texas State's in it. Georgia Southern, South Alabama,
State, Coastal, South Al, Georgia Southern, Troy,
Appalachian State. I don't remember them being very good at baseball, but I remember they just got I saw it on Twitter. They got a brand new stadium, and that thing looks sweet. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's like in the forest, kind of. It's like cut out in the forest.
It's perched up on a mountain in the mountain. They're sick.
Yeah, no, it's sweet. But anyways, this is another conference where I'm sticking with the guns that I've seen plenty of times. Coastal Carolina, former national champion. This is a team that got hot at the end of the season last year, like wasn't even going to make the tournament. They lost the first game of their conference tournament and had to win five in a row to make it to a regional. I think that Parker Chavers is hurt. And if you guys don't know who Parker Chavers is, he's a beast, like probably their best overall player at Coastal. He's going to miss the first month, maybe 2 months. But when he gets back and healthy, that offense is going to click. They play awesome at home. They're the top tier of the Sun Belt. They're going to win, I think, the regular season, no doubt. We'll see if that'll be enough to put them in the field of 64 as an at-large. But, I mean, I like teams like Texas State, UT Arlington. Louisiana Lafayette's got some beast players that are coming back. It'll be a fun conference to keep up with. And I love, like, ESPN Plus televises a lot of these games. So I'll be watching a lot of Sun Belt ball, too.
I'm going with South Alabama. I think Coastal is the regional team. I think it's going to be a two-bid conference, maybe three, depending on how Louisiana Lafayette does in Texas State. But I think Coastal and South Al are your two teams, and I'm going with South Alabama to win the conference.
Yeah, no, South Alabama is like they're very, very talented. And I haven't done as much research on them as I probably should. I have a week left to do some research, but I've seen some really good things about like Drake Nightingale, who was a beast last year. And I don't remember, they had a first rounder a couple years ago. I can't remember his name though. He had a cool name. It'll come to me in a little bit, but he was fun to watch, center fielder, I believe. And you said it's going to be a two-bid league. I think two is minimum. I think minimum two, maximum five. I could see five teams getting between Coastal, South Alabama, Louisiana Lafayette, Texas State, and then a team like UT Arlington or Georgia Southern. Those two teams played really good last year. All they have to do is get to 40 wins. I mean, I could see it possibly five team max, but we'll most likely see three.
Coastal, South Owl are your two. And then, I mean, then maybe Louisiana Lafayette. I don't see it being a four bid league.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. I mean, that's the fun thing.
We're making prediction.
Yeah. That we'll see. We will listen back to this episode after the announce of the field, and we will see who was right. But anyways, Dimitri, I think that pretty much wraps us up. We've did our 10 conferences. We'll recap it one more time. I have East Carolina in the American, Louisville ACC, Texas Big 12, Minnesota Big 10, Cal State Fullerton Big West, FAU Conference USA, Dallas Baptist Missouri Valley, Pac-12 is going to be Arizona State. I have Vanderbilt winning the SEC and Coastal Carolina winning the Sun Belt. So one more time, who do you got?
I got American. I got Houston Cougars coming out of the AAC, the ACC. I got Miami, Big 12, Texas Tech. The Big 10, we're rowing the boat with the Minnesota Golden Gopher, Big West, Cal State Fullerton, Conference USA, Southern Miss, Missouri Valley, Patriots from Dallas Baptist, Pac-12, UCLA, SEC Vandy, Sun Belt, South Alabama.
All right. So I'm marking those down. I have both of ours. So at the end of the year, we'll compare. And for the listeners at home, send us what you guys think. Tell us where we went wrong. Tell us where you agree with us. We want to hear it. I mean, we have less than 5 days before the start of the season. It's going to be a fun one. We're excited, but let us know what your thoughts are. Anyways, Dimitri.
It's always a pleasure. Hey, fans, always tweet what you guys think. If you got any questions, comments, concerns, let us know at 11.7 on Twitter. And we'll see you next time.
Absolutely. See you guys.